Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today's quick reset is 10 things that scare me as an ADHD mum. Now, I am scared of spiders and heights, but I choose not to do activities that will expose me to either. However, I'm more scared of forgetting that it's library day and watching my preppy's face fall when he gets into the car and says he was the only one that wasn't able to borrow a book that week. I'm also scared of what happens when the school calls yet again. Have you ever cried in the car because you forgot the school disco was on and you didn't pay the fee and your child didn't get to go? Have you had the school call to tell you that your child doesn't have a lunchbox at all? Or to tell you that your child didn't get to go on the excursion because you forgot the permission slip? Now, feeling scared of forgetting library day or what will happen when the school calls, these aren't actually irrational fears. They can be really learnt responses to situations that have happened in the past. We don't parent from panic because we're fragile people, but we do it because the systems that we're parenting in aren't built for our brains or our kids, and so we honestly just struggle to keep up. I also believe, personal opinion, that it has never been so busy for mums as what it is now. There are a lot of neurotypical mums that can barely keep up and keep their head above water. So what chance do we have as neurodivergent mums? ADHD mums are constantly managing a nervous system that has been trained by years of just not really quite getting it right and being told over and over again, just try harder, get more organized, keep up, everyone else is doing it. Those beliefs can start from when you're a child. Maybe you're struggling with self-care, getting yourself ready for school, and you have adults around you saying, just put the stuff in your bag, just remember library bag. Oh, well, that's up to you. Maybe you weren't diagnosed with ADHD as a child, as a lot of us weren't. So we were just told we need to keep up. The amount of effort that we have used to just keep up has resulted in some of us developing a bit of an anxiety or hypervigilance response around being more organized because you're just waiting to forget something any moment. So when your brain has lagging executive function, if you've got poor working memory and your task initiation isn't great, small misses can feel really massive and it can happen really often. Our bodies as mums tend to be the type that remember every time that you were told you weren't trying hard enough. And this memory triggers off that fear response, that anxiety. It's actually a really normal response to feel fear or being scared around some of these things that have actually happened to us as evidence in our life. And it can really represent an inner feeling of just generalized anxiety or hypervigilance. And of course, this is different for everybody. I'm talking about a lot of women that I see and speak to, and also myself. So here it is, the 10 things that scare me, and I wonder how many of them you also have. Number one, I'm scared my kids will remember me and refer to me as a chaotic mother, not as a loving and kind mother. I'm scared that the chaos will actually overshadow the other attributes that I try so hard to give. Two, I'm scared I will completely burn out before they're teenagers and then I'll miss something. Three, I'm scared that the teachers think I'm the problem, not the system, and they actively avoid me when they see me. Four, I'm scared that one day I won't bounce back from burnout and my kids will witness it and think that they have caused that. Five, I'm scared that my kids' struggles are actually my fault. Six, I'm scared of how hard it is for me to keep up with all the paperwork for school, the NDIS and everything my kids need. And I'm scared that one day I'll take the finger off the pulse and there'll be consequences of me losing it or not keeping track, and that we'll lose funding or therapies that they so desperately need. Seven, I'm scared of asking for help and being told that I should be coping. Eight, I'm scared that masking is the only way that I can be accepted with friends. And if I was truly myself, I would be left out of the group. Number nine, I'm scared that fundamentally as a mother, I'm just not enough for my kids and they need more. 10, I'm scared I just won't be around long enough. My chronic health, my heart condition, the fatigue, the way that I just don't prioritize myself, my half-managed health conditions. I'm worried that they'll catch up with me before my kids stop needing me this much. I worry about missing their milestones, about not being there to see them get married because I've just spent too long barely surviving and not prioritizing myself. Okay, so that was a lot, but I am known for my straight talking, honest, and vulnerability. And it's okay if some of these fears live underneath your surface. Saying them out loud isn't a weakness, and it can really help you acknowledge and move forward. Vulnerability isn't oversharing. When you've been forced to carry this much alone, sometimes the burden being shared is really helpful. So if you've ever wondered whether anyone else lies awake thinking about these things, the answer is yes. And naming them doesn't make it heavier, it makes them more human. The fears don't make you weak, but they make you aware. aware of how much pressure you're under and how little support there is, and how powerful it is to say the quiet parts out loud. So are these overreactions? Is this just anxiety talking? Let's have a look at this. Now, we know that ADHD brains and neurodivergent brains show a real increase in the amygdala activation. And I can put all of the references into the show notes. And it basically means that we're wired to detect threat more intensely, especially emotional and social threats. Now, if we are wired to detect threat more intensely, we're also wired to protect our children. That can contribute to some of these fears that I just listed. But then at the same time, we also have an underactivation in the prefrontal cortex. And that is the part of the brain that manages regulation and emotional downshifting. Now, that is by Shaw in the research. I'll put it in the notes. So we also know that ADHD is really linked to higher rates of rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And so perceived criticism or failure can feel like physically unbearable. If we feel like we are not getting it right or we're going to miss something, it can feel physically in our body unbearable. We also know that 47% of adults with ADHD meet the criteria for an anxiety disorder. However, they are often dismissed as just stress. If you are wondering whether you have a generalized anxiety disorder, obviously seek medical and professional advice. If you've been dismissed, you may want to get a second opinion. So when we look at a mum panicking about school admin, it's not that she lacks resilience. I believe ADHD mums and kids are an incredibly resilient group of people. I can't see ADHD people, children, adults, as being less resilient as neurotypicals, because we know that children with ADHD receive an average of 20,000 more negative comments than neurotypical children by adolescence. We're talking about in school, focus, stop talking, sit still. At home, why can't you just put on your shoes like your sister? In social settings, oh, I don't want to invite you to my party. You're just too much. You're too intense. These comments chip away at our self-esteem and it builds up a shame-based internal narrative. This can lead to all sorts of mental health conditions in the future. And this really builds around this mismatch between executive function and environmental expectations. So it's not that the ADHD child is bad, air quoting, but it's that the system can kind of keep penalizing their brain and the way it processes information. So let's have a look at some of the things that we hear all the time around some of these fears. What are the myths around this? Number one, every mum feels overwhelmed or scared or fears things. That's not an ADHD thing. Fact. Yes, that is true. But ADHD compounds all of the overwhelm. Neurotypical mums, yes, they do have levels of overwhelm. They do have some fears. However, in 2019, a study was done by Young, and it found that mothers with ADHD reported significantly lower parenting confidence. They also reported higher anxiety, even when all of the other life stresses were taken into account. So it's not just about how much we're holding, it's that our brain doesn't necessarily filter anything out. The mental noise that we have can be constant and unrelenting. So if you're hearing this myth, yes, neurotypical mums can feel overwhelmed. They do have fears, but it's not to the same level. Myth number two, you're catastrophizing. Your kids are not going to remember if you forgot library day. Don't worry about it. The fact, they might not remember. However, I will remember. And that's what worries me. And so ADHD can create what psychologists call kind of like an emotional time travel. And we relive shame like it's right now. For ADHD mums, a nervous system stuck in hypervigilance can't always see the difference from past stress to current threat. And it can actually look at all of the past stress and just keep your nervous system stuck in like a current threat situation, even though that past stress may no longer be relevant. Number three, what about when someone says to you, well, if it's that hard, maybe you shouldn't have had kids, or maybe you shouldn't have had three, or, well, you're the one that wanted three kids, I would have just wanted one, or maybe you should have thought about that before you had kids. Now, let's just strip this one back, because this isn't about regret, right? But what it is about calling out the invisible expectations that are placed on ADHD mums, especially those that don't have a diagnosis or can't take medication for whatever reason, or they don't have that support that they need. Now, I read a study recently, and it was from 2023, and it was on women's health. And it actually looked at neurodivergent mums and it found that they were 70% less likely to access parenting care or perinatal care compared to neurotypical mums. Whether that's the executive function behind that, whether it's about knowing that it's on, whether it's about organization, whatever it's about, it doesn't matter. But what we know is that they will have less support. And we are not struggling because we're unfit to parent, but we are struggling because the system that we're in doesn't actually support us in the way that we are. If they hold up a neurotypical booking system in to seek help and you are overwhelmed and stressed and you've just had a baby and you can't navigate the executive function on that, that is a system issue. That is not an us issue. And again, this season is about changing the systems to suit us and pointing it out rather than just saying the system's not built for us and moving on. Number four, myth. People with ADHD use it as an excuse. Fact, there is a complete difference between an excuse and an explanation. Now, I'm not saying that there's people with ADHD that don't avoid responsibility or don't not take responsibility for things. I'm sure there are. Those people are everywhere, neurotypical, neurodivergent combined. However, I'm talking about accessing the tools that we should have been given decades ago. So for example, if someone says, I didn't finish my university degree, if I had have had ADHD medication, I definitely would have done it. We may want to just give them a moment because that may actually be true. That is not an excuse. That for them might be completely true. So if you have somebody with ADHD that's attempting to do a university degree, that might be a real stretch for their brain at the best of times, and they don't have medication, and they're sitting alongside neurotypicals that have got better executive function, better organization, better focus, whatever it is, I don't think that's an excuse. So when we talk about people in wheelchairs having accessibility to classrooms, we all think that's great and that should be there and that's the law. So what about for the person that's sitting there with ADHD? If the person in the wheelchair says, I would have loved to finish university, but I couldn't because that classroom was in a place that didn't have wheelchair accessibility, I couldn't get up the stairs, would we call that an excuse? No, we wouldn't. So ADHD is a neurological condition and that isn't an excuse. So the fear isn't that you're doing anything wrong, but it can be a real sign that you care deeply and that you've been carrying a load for a really long time. Saying the fears out loud doesn't make them worse, doesn't make you worse, doesn't make the fear worse. It can actually share the load. If you have someone that you feel like you can really talk to about this, I encourage you to do it. If there's someone online in the Facebook group, please connect in. Post anonymously in the group about your fears if you don't feel like you can say it out loud. And let's talk about them because the fear that you have deep down inside is not going to be unique to you. When we look at people's deep, deep, deep fears, and I've listened to a lot of deep, deep, deep fears, they all seem to be flavors of the same recipe. Like, for example, I'm not good enough. The story is slightly different, but the fear is the same. But if we keep pretending we're fine, we just stay alone. So this is your quick reset for this week, and you've already started just by listening. You don't need to push harder, you don't need to try harder, but you need to feel safer. Take the pressure off, please connect in with the Facebook group or a friend, share this episode with a friend, and let your feelings be real. You don't have to earn your rest, you don't have to perform to be worthy. You're allowed to be a work in progress and still be powerful, valued, and loved. I'll be right here next time you need a reset. Have a great week.